Well, my name is Josh. It's good to be here tonight. I think once a Royal Ranger, always a Royal Ranger. So I don't know if Outpost 76 from Akron, Ohio is here, but I am a product of Commanders and in that outpost. Commander Hughey was my commander. I don't think he's here. Do we know Chuck Hughey? He's not here, is he? Oh, he passed away. He's with Jesus now. That was going to be my next thing. I don't think he'd still be here. But let me tell you something. When I was 5 years old and I became a straight arrow, I learned the Lord's Prayer. I memorized John 3:16. When I became a buckaroo, I started reading my Bible every day. When I became a pioneer, I found out that it was important to share Jesus with my friends at school. So the investment, leaders, that you're making is not just an investment of a great week at Camporama, although it is a great week at Camporama. The investment you're making in these future leaders is for all eternity. So when I ask you to stand and I ask these guys to show some honor, we're not just thanking you for setting up tents. We're not just thanking you for keeping order in the chow line. We're thanking you for sowing seed in eternity. Because what we are cultivating here as people, as next gen workers, as people who believe that the solutions that our world needs, I mean, you can see our theme right up here. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting a spiritual battle against principalities that we cannot see, but we believe can be overcome in prayer. Yeah, you can clap for that. My goodness. I'm already preaching. I'm not even looking at my notes yet. So can I just share a little bit about me? I feel like just this great distance between us, and I feel like before the end of the week, we're all going to be best friends. But in the meantime, let's get to know each other just a little bit. As I already mentioned, I grew up in Akron, Ohio until we moved to Southern Missouri as a kid. I spent my younger years, my dream was to go into broadcasting and be like a radio announcer. And so would you like to hear my radio voice real quick?
Taking a real quick look at your weather forecast. It is hot and sticky at Eagle Rock, and all week we're going to be fighting over who gets to sleep next to the window in the tent. But let's remember that we are Jesus followers. All right, so there's the radio voice.
Thanks. And it was a camp, not that different than this one, where on my face before God, tears in my eyes, I knew that God was telling me to do something. He was asking me to put my dreams on hold because he was going to replace them with his dreams. And the vision that he gave me was speaking to the next generation, was speaking to young people, was speaking to kids, to teenagers, because I believe in you, young people, students, Royal Rangers. I believe that what our world needs, what our country needs, tonight's emphasis on patriotism. We have the parade of flags, the pageantry. I love being an American. I really do. I have an allegiance to the flag. My goodness, we should applaud for that every chance we get. I'm thankful for the freedom to be able to say that to you now and to use the name Jesus whenever I want. But my allegiance, before it's to the flag, is to the Lamb. Can somebody say amen? And I knew God was calling me to something beyond what I could see. He's calling me to a vision that I hadn't yet seen. The vision, it's still coming to me. Even at this stage in my life, I believe that the challenges our country is facing are very real. The challenges, listen, commanders, outpost leaders, volunteers, leaders, adults, the challenges you and I faced when we were growing up, these young people are facing a whole new set of tactics and strategies from the enemy. And they're infiltrating our culture. We all see it. We all know it's there. So even as I prepare for tonight with a heart of patriotism, there's a heart that says, oh God, you have to be greater than the flag. Oh God, you have to be greater than the Constitution. Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, there is no political strategy that can save us. So we're believing that this next generation of leaders, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is going to bring solutions that our generation never got to see. The revival that's coming is going to be their generation's revival. Let me get into scripture with you tonight. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 14. And so if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open those up and get them ready. Put a finger right there. Hold your place. We'll come back to it in just a moment. But we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 14. But first, as I was driving down here today, came down from Springfield, and thank you for coming so far. Those of you that mounted up in your church vans and loaded up the Ranger trailers. I was at church on Sunday. I saw our Commander Carl. I don't know the commander's name at Life 360. I saw him getting the Ranger trailer ready. I got excited. So thank you for coming. Those of you that came, there was a group from Oregon that came in about the same time I did. You guys came a long way from the Beaver State. We're glad you're here. As I was coming down, I was reminded of, I know that we've got some ladies here, but like I started thinking about my wife. I know I'm going to Ranger camp, and I'm supposed to be thinking like manly, like we're going to camp out. We're going to build stuff. We're going to light fires with just like stones and tissue paper, and it's going to be amazing. We're going to build explosives, and we're going to launch chickens, and it's going to be manly. But I started thinking about my wife because one of our very, very first dates, we drove down to Branson from Springfield. Now, I'm in my 20s. My wife, the first time I saw her, listen, I was 14 years old. We were planting trees for extra credit in science class in front of our school. And as we're planting the trees, I look up and I see this brace-faced beauty. She was the one wearing braces. And I just thought, that's the prettiest girl I've ever seen. And I didn't even speak to her until I was about 20 years old. And we didn't go on our first date until I was 24. So, like, that is not the fast track to finding your wife, but that was the path that I followed. And I remember one of the first times we went out, we drove down to Branson. On our way down, skies, you know, were blue, and we started. We're going to go down to Table Rock Lake. We're going to splash around. We're going to have a little barbecue. And I'm going to be like, I'm just going to, like, sweep her off her feet with like my grilling skills, and I'm gonna say funny things, and I'm gonna like swim out to the diving platform and do flips and stuff and impress her. But as we're driving down, like clouds begin to roll in, like dark clouds. Now I don't know if we have anybody who came here from the Dakotas. Do we have any South Dakota, North Dakota folks that came down for Camp-A-Rama? So a couple summers ago, I was driving across South Dakota, and you guys have some impressive, like, thunderstorms. I'm telling you, from like an hour and a half away, I could see this wall of just black cloud coming in. And at first, it was kind of ominous and terrifying, but it was really amazing and beautiful. And so it was one of those, except it was the kind we get here in southern Missouri. And I don't know how it is where you're from, but when the black clouds roll in southern Missouri, all the rednecks get their camp chairs out, and we roll up our garage doors. I'm one of them. I got a pickup truck to prove it. We it's true. It couldn't make the trip down here because it's not that reliable. 94 F-150. I became a mechanic this year. It's really exciting. So we get out our lawn chairs. We roll up the garage door. We just sit there and we watch it roll in. And so I wasn't scared. We saw these clouds start to come in as we're driving down to Branson. It's getting darker and darker. And then it just kind of crosses that point from looking amazing to being terrifying. Anybody know what I'm talking about when you get in a storm like that? Right. So at first the lightning is kind of like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. You're counting between the flashes and the thunder, trying to figure out how far away it is. And then the next thing you know, you're like, oh, we might should take shelter. So we turn on the radio, and sure enough, they're making the announcement. You know the sound that the National Weather Service in southern Missouri has issued a severe thunderstorm warning with a severe tornado warning for the counties of, and it was naming off all the counties, Christian County, Green County, Laclede County, and it was listing them off. And I'm like, what county are we in? I don't know. And I knew that we were coming up on Branson West, which is just a little town at the time, just had a grocery store. Now they've got a Walmart. And so we pull up on this grocery store, and it's really, really bad. Like, we saw a tree limb fall, hailstones were hitting the sunroof of the car, and I'm like, it's gonna break. And so she says, turn into that grocery store. We gotta take shelter, because when there is a storm, you've gotta go to the safest place. And for us, it was just a grocery store. We go into the grocery store. As soon as we go in, the grocery store manager is there directing people to the back. You're like, how did you know he was the grocery store manager? Well, he had on his short sleeve button up shirt with the clip on tie and a name tag that said Dale. And so Dale, the grocery store manager, was telling everybody to go to the back of the store, and he was telling us to get into the meat locker. You're like, it was 99 degrees today. A meat locker sounds amazing. And this guy, man, he would have made a great Royal Ranger commander. He was living his best life. He was just like, folks, everybody in the back of the store, get in the meat locker as soon as possible. We're like, ah. You know, just have you ever gotten orders from someone that just in a scary situation just makes it that much more panicky? So we're panicked. We're in the meat locker. There's a crowd of people in there. We're like, what are we going to do? And he walks in. Dale walks in, closes the door behind him. I'm not making this up. I'm exaggerating the voice a little bit, but, you know, there's like 9-year-olds here. So... And he says, folks, I know it's cold in here, but this is the safest place to be if this building comes down. Well, suffice it to say, the building did not come down. However, when we came out, there was a car in the parking lot that a tree had fallen on. Many of the windshields were damaged. Our car had some hail damage. And it was really kind of a scary moment and one that I will remember for a long time. And so when I think about driving down here, when I pass, when I head down towards Branson, south of Springfield, I start thinking about that terrible storm that we went through. Well, tonight I want to talk about storms. So I tell my storm story. When I pray for our country, it feels like a storm. It feels like a storm. Political unrest. Us versus them. It feels like a storm. Even within the church, it feels that way sometimes. Not to mention the immoral attacks that are coming against you in the public schools and in the political arena. It feels like a storm. And it is. And it is. So tonight... The message is simply called storms. Simply called storms. And I've said it before, I'll continue to say it throughout the night. Where do you go during a storm? A meat locker. I'm so glad you're paying attention. That sounds like some of the 9-year-olds. Go to the place. He's like, I'm 10 and a half, sucker. All right, 10 and a half, fair enough. You go to the place you know is safe. And if that's a meat locker, then so be it. But you go to the place that you know is safe. We had a tornado. I lived in Michigan for a number of years. I grew up basically in Ohio and southern Missouri. Never experienced a tornado, living right here in Tornado Alley. The first year that I buy a home in Fenton, Michigan, tornado goes right through my backyard, knocks down a 200-year-old maple tree, oak rather, because we counted the rings as the guys that took it down after or disassembled it. We counted the rings. We counted over 200 rings. Thing got knocked down by a tornado and crashed into the side of my garage. The first year that I've ever bought a house. We had a spot in the home that we decided this is where we go if there's a tornado. It was an interior room. There's a bathtub. During that one, my wife jumped in the bathtub, yanked the shower curtain over herself to protect herself, and I just stood in the middle of the living room kind of panicking. Just like, oh, ready for anything. Ready to work, play, serve, obey, worship, live, etc. Which one should I do now? You know, like it was just kind of those freeze moments. I wasn't really sure what to do because sometimes in a storm, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. There's a storm in our country. And there's a storm in our lives, there's a storm in our homes, there's a storm in our families, and we need to go to the safest place. In America, we've abolished slavery, but did you know that there are 20 million people still living in slavery in the world today? Some estimates are as high as 36 million. In 21st century, that's what's happening. I would call that a storm. To put that into perspective, for those of you that are history buffs, in the United States prior to the Civil War, there were about 4 million people in slavery. 600,000 to 800,000 people are bought and sold across international borders every year in our world. That's a storm. According to the World Water Council, 1.1 billion people lack safe drinking water, 2.6 billion lack adequate sanitation, and 1.8 million people die every year from diseases caused by dirty water and poor sanitation. We've got a storm in our world. In the last hundred years, more people died in war than any other century in human history. We've got a storm. There's a storm in our country. We need to go to the safest place. Drugs. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, during your lifetime, young people, the number of overdose deaths has more than quadrupled. In 1 year alone, more people die of drug overdose than died in the entire Vietnam War. People hate each other in this country because of the other political party that they support. Love has been redefined by what makes you feel loved rather than how can you serve others and love. This is what's going on in our world today. There are forces in our country trying to make the voice of the church become irrelevant. There are just under 500,000 children in America that have been orphaned. On average, 96 Americans are killed with guns each day, 62% of which are people who take their own lives. We have a storm. We have a storm in our world. There's a storm in our community, and we need to go to the safest place. There are 69 million young people in the United States, and only 4% have what would qualify as a biblical worldview. Rangers, we need to be the most biblically literate group of Royal Rangers the world has ever seen, because that's going to be the solution to the storm that is brewing in our world. Is the rightly dividing of Scripture. The world is going to need leaders like yourself who can explain the Scriptures, who understand what God is saying through His Word, and they can be imparted by the Holy Spirit to share that with others. You know, when we talk about 4% having a biblical worldview, this means that even people who call themselves Christians don't have a worldview that would qualify as the biblical standard. In your schools, a third of all young people in public schools say that they have been victims of bullying, cyberbullying. Weed use is common in our public schools now. Vaping is common. You're like, yeah, that's rough. You know what's even more terrifying? Is that anxiety and depression are so, so common that I'm afraid to ask for a show of hands in this field tonight. But there's good news. In the storm that is brewing, God has a solution, and His Holy Spirit is going to show you the safest place to be tonight is in this altar with these leaders seeking the Holy Spirit, worshiping the Lord, and rightly dividing Scripture. In the storm that is brewing, the safest place to be is right in the middle of where God has you. And for whatever reason, you might think it's because your parents sent you. You might think it's because you were able to find the money to come here. But God has made a way for you to be at Camp-A-Rama because He is starting something special tonight. And this will be the safest place in the storm right here at Camp-A-Rama 22. When I was a youth pastor, I called the thing that I'm going to do next rapid fire scripture. So I'm just going to give you some rapid fire scripture because the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. The Bible says that we win. The Bible says that if there are storms around us, we can find peace in the midst of the storm. So let me give you some scripture to support what I'm telling you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I'll quote this one again. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. 1 John 4. 4:4, greater is He that is in you, Royal Rangers, than he that is in the world. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Luke 18:27, what is impossible with men is possible with God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Proverbs 21, 31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Aren't you glad you're on the Lord's side? Somebody say amen. We have the victory over COVID. We have the victory over racial tension. We have the victory over political unrest. We have the victory over gun violence. We have the victory over the recession. And it's in you, Rangers. Before the night's over, we're going to gather down here at the front. We're going to seek the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray with one another. Those of you that are going through a storm right now I'm talking about the storm of our culture, but some of you don't even relate to that because there's storms that are brewing inside of you that you already know about. You're like, Pastor Josh, yeah, you know what? I don't even think about the storm at my school because what's going on inside of me is pretty rough. In fact, nobody knows about it. Oh, Rangers, that's the worst kind of storm. Because the enemy teaches you. He didn't teach you, but he tries to get in there and convince you that you need to hide that from others. But let me tell you tonight, if you're going through a storm on the inside, it's time to talk about it and then pray about it. And that's what we're going to do before the night's over. Yeah. I said that we were going to unpack Matthew chapter 14. Let's jump over there and look at some scripture, because I think that one of the reasons that we have church, I think the reason for having church is to hear from the word of the Lord and then to respond to it. It's just that simple. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. This is one of my favorite stories in scripture. One, it came with really cool visual illustrations called flannel graphs when I was a kid. And then I saw this play down in Branson where they acted this one out, and it was just awesome. So I'm going to read this to you tonight, and then I'm going to give you a few thoughts, and then the band's going to come back and we're going to respond. I don't know who this outpost was that was down here to my right. If you can shout it out, I would like to know, because you guys... I don't know if any of you guys noticed this. I don't know if the cameras caught it. But there was a group just gathered around praying with each other. And I think if we can learn to make that normal, we will find the safest place in the middle of any storm. In the middle of any storm. When it's normal to just gather together and pray. Nobody had to tell those guys to do that. They probably have a good commander. They probably have a good pastor that's teaching them that, hey, this is what we do. Where two or three are gathered together, the Lord is there, and we need him here now. So we're going to do that before the night's over, and I would encourage you now to just posture your heart to be ready to respond. Not should I respond, but rather, how should I respond? So let's unpack this. Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to start in verse 22. I'm going to read through verse 36. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that the disciples get back in the boat. You're like, after this, what just happened? Jesus just fed the 5,000, so double the amount of people here. Jesus unpacks lunch with, you guys know the story, am I right? You know this one? He takes the boys' lunch. What does he have? He has five loaves of bread, he has two fish, and he feeds 5,000 people. Different translations put it different ways, but basically 5,000 people plus women and children. So a lot of people. He does a miracle. It's probably the most visible, popular miracle of his day. The people want to make him king. He's so popular in this moment. And so in this moment, he insists that the Bibles get in the boat, go to the other side of the lake. This is the Sea of Galilee. If you don't know about the Sea of Galilee, picture a really big lake. Those of you from the Great Lakes region, it's always hard convincing people who have never been to like Lake Michigan or Lake Superior or Lake Erie how big it is. You can't see the other side. Now, this lake is almost that big, but you can see to the other side, but they even call it a sea. It's that big. After sending the people home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Do you remember where the disciples are? They're out on the lake. Jesus sent them. He said, go to the other side of the lake. Night fell while he was there alone, praying by himself. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, they were all asleep and in their homes. No, at 3 o'clock in the morning, they're still out on the lake. Now, Jesus had sent them out just after dinner time. So this is a long time to be stuck out on the lake. They're still out on the lake because they are fighting a strong wind that had risen up. They were fighting heavy waves. A strong wind had risen up and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came walking to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in fear. Do you guys know this one? They cried out. Somebody was a good little Bible quizzer back there. It's a ghost! It's the most terrifying thing they've ever seen. It's Jesus, their friend, their rabbi, their teacher, but they're too scared. It's a ghost. Jesus spoke to them. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I'm here. Then Peter called out to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come walking to you on the water. You guys know this story. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified. He began to sink and he said, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped, and this is maybe the most important two sentences of this passage. Then the disciples worshiped him, saying, you really are the Son of God. You guys are stoked for God's word. I saw a news article in my local news the other day, my little feed for KY3 News, and it said, study shows that it's been a solid 2 years since most people have been happy. I thought, well, that kind of aligns with COVID. And it kind of aligns with what I see. I see a lot of people that are discouraged. I think, like I said, anxiety, depression, they've become sort of this wallpaper of the next generation, and I'm not okay with it. And this storm that's taking place in Scripture had a solution. The storm that you're in has a solution. Whether it's the storm of just the environment that you're surrounded by, it might be your home, it might be the political environment that you're feeling the pressure of, it could be the school situation you're in. Maybe it's a secret sin. Oh, and like I said, the enemy has convinced some of us that, and it's a lie, that if you have a sin, you need to keep it hidden, especially from the church people, because they wouldn't understand. They might think that I was lying about saying I was a Christian if they knew what sin I was really involved in. They might judge me. They might not let me go on the camperama. They might, you know, whatever. My parents might be disappointed. My commander might be disappointed. See, that's what the enemy does. He wants to hide and conceal sin. And then what happens is you've got this internal storm that you can't get out of. An addiction. Substance isn't the only thing that people get addicted to. Oftentimes, teenagers will experiment with drugs and alcohol, not realizing how powerful some of those habits become addictions, and they pull them in. One of the most dangerous things for young men is pornography. I've yet to meet someone who chose pornography. For the most part, when we start talking about it, it was someone that exposed us to that. It was someone else that showed us something. Whatever your reaction was, some were repulsed and others were like, oh, I want more of that. You're human. You're human. And the enemy wants to convince you that you're less than human. He wants to convince you that you're dirty, that you're bad. And tonight I'm telling you that that storm has a solution. And it's Jesus. For some of you, the storm is not it's not your own doing. In fact, for Christians, there's two different kinds of storms. See, in this story, the disciples didn't choose the storm they went into. In fact, they were in the storm because Jesus sent them into it. How odd is that? See, there's two different kinds of storms that Christians face. We'll call them storms of correction and storms of perfection. Now, let me explain what these mean. What we see with the disciples is a storm of perfection. Because did you notice what happened at the end of that storm? I said these are the two most important sentences in this passage, at least for tonight. They bowed down and they said, truly, you're the Son of God. Now, if you're a student of Scripture, you know that, and you can study it in the New Testament. That's the first time that they've done what we would say one must do to become a Christian. You confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the first time they've said this out loud. In fact, they struggle with that decision because it's even later that Jesus says to Peter, or he says to all the disciples, who do you say that I am? But it's Peter that speaks up and says, you're the Christ. So it's not a decision that they make lightly. They struggle with it. They wrestle with it. It was a storm of perfection on that night to perfect their faith, to bring them on the journey. And yes, sometimes Jesus leads you and I through storms, and it's something that feels awful and it feels like punishment, but it's Him perfecting our faith. He's helping us grow stronger. You might be facing something right now that's not your fault, but God's going to use it for your testimony. God's going to use it to minister to others. You didn't ask for it. You didn't do anything wrong. But you've been on the receiving end of something that maybe is somebody else's fault. God uses all things for His glory, for His purpose, and He's going to use the thing that you're going through. Now, there's another kind of storm, a storm of correction. Now, this is when we go through a storm and it's all our fault. You made a bad decision. You've done something just knuckleheaded, something selfish, something rebellious. Mouthed off to your parents. Maybe you've damaged that relationship so much that it just feels good to be away from them right now. You've done so much damage that now you don't know how to fix it. And it feels like a storm. See, that's a storm of correction. The Bible says that He disciplines those He loves. Maybe God's taking you through a season of discipline because He loves you. There's four things that I, as I was studying this, I wrote these down for me, just in my own personal prayer time, my own personal journal. And I'll give them to you real quick and then we'll respond. But number one, going through a storm, for the disciples, He brought them there. Sometimes if you're going through a storm of perfection, you can believe that God brought you there. He's perfecting your faith. He brought me here. Number two, you can always know this, that Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for you. It said there in verse 23, when the disciples went out into the lake and they were in the storm, Jesus went into the hills to pray. That was our passage from tonight, Matthew 14, 23. He's praying for you now. Rangers. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 tells us, it says, He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, not just praying, but pleading for us. Rangers, He has a call for your generation. He has a mandate. He has a mission for you to fulfill. And this world, this country, desperately needs you. Many of them don't know it. Many of them will deny it. But they desperately need you to rescue them. In this storm, in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus was praying. There's another storm in the Bible that sometimes people get confused with. There's two storms in the New Testament that the disciples go through. The other one's actually in Mark chapter 4. In that storm, Jesus is actually with them in the boat. Does anybody know what Jesus is doing in that storm? You know this one. He's sleeping. So I don't know about you, but the way I study Scripture, I look for like examples of how I should live in Scripture. So I figure if I'm going through a storm, I have two options. One, go to sleep. Just rest. Because sometimes that's the appropriate response. It's just to say, Lord, I trust You. Maybe physically go to sleep, but probably not. But to have that posture of just trusting God. You've heard that expression, let go and let God. It's not in the Bible, but sometimes it's good advice. In a storm, sometimes you just need to let go and just say, God, You're in control and You're going to do this. And then you'd say, well, what about when we're not resting, Josh? Well, you have the example from Matthew chapter 14 in the storm. What's Jesus doing in Matthew 14? He's praying. He's praying. He's praying. He knew where they were. He knew what they were doing. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. He knows what our country's going through right now. He's praying for you. He's praying for you when you're too lazy to pray. He's praying for you when you have too little faith to pray. He's praying for you when you don't believe that prayer works. Jesus is praying for you. The third and fourth thing are this. The third thing is this. He will come to me. He came to the disciples, and through eyes of fear, they saw a ghost. Can you imagine if they'd been worshiping God during that time? Maybe when the storm came up, and I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, they've been going since after dinner. So imagine like 6 p.m. to 3 a.m., just nonstop, like waves. And I mean, you'd be nauseous. People are, you know, Andrew's puking over the side of the boat. It's a mess. Judas is cussing, you know, because that's what he did, under his breath, in Hebrew. But imagine if one disciple had been like, hey, let's do what Jesus would do right now. I know it's terrifying and we all might die, but let's pray. What if Jesus had come walking out onto the water and He came up on 12 disciples in a boat having a prayer meeting? Better yet, what if they were worshiping? What if they're just like, Jaira, You are enough. I tell you what, when they opened their eyes and they saw Jesus walking to them on the water, I don't believe if they'd been praying, they would have seen a ghost. I think they would have seen Jesus. You know why? Because eyes of fear always see the worst case scenario. But eyes of faith always see Jesus. And I think they all could have gotten out on the boat and had a worship night similar to what we were having out here tonight, jumping up and down, lifting their hands, worshiping Jesus, if they'd been looking through eyes of faith. My dad always said growing up, God's the slowest person I know, but he's always on time. Because number four is this: he will help me grow. He'll help me grow. Rangers, would you stand to your feet tonight? My prayer for you this week, and I'm going to be with you tomorrow night. I'm going to be with you all the way through till Thursday night. Tomorrow, I'm going to come hang out. I'd like to do that 5K in the morning, if that's all right. I didn't get any support. Maybe I could make a few phone calls. You guys doing the 5K tomorrow? What time does it start? Good, because it's going to be hot in the afternoon. I don't want to do 100 degree 5K. I'm going to be with you all week, and you know what my prayer for you this week is? That you would just grow. That you would grow. That you would grow in your relationship with God. That you would grow in your closeness with the Holy Spirit. That you would learn to hear His voice. Just like these rangers that were up here tonight, they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they were already praying with each other. They didn't have to be told. Somebody had already shown them the way. So we're going to invite everybody to the front tonight, but we're going to start with a special group of people. Special group of rangers. Listen, if you're a ranger that's going through a storm, I want to invite you to the front first. Now remember I said we're going to invite everybody down, so you don't need to be nervous. I tell you what, who's going to be the bravest? I can see it. There's lights in my eyes, but I can see it. Come on down, buddy. Who's going through a storm and you just say, I believe what you're saying is true, Josh. We're going to pray tonight for your storm. Come on down. Who else? And we're going to worship and we're going to spend time just seeking God. Look at that. You want to know what dealing is? It's a posture of humility. It's just saying, God, I can't do this. See, in the Old Testament, they would kneel before the Lord. They'd get on their face before the Lord. It's an expression of worship, absolutely. It's an expression of submission. It's a physical posture of what we want on the inside. I didn't have to tell them to kneel. They just did it because their inside wanted to be humble before the Lord and wanted to say, I can't do this on my own. I know that many of you are struggling with the storm. I mentioned pornography tonight, and I don't want to make a huge deal out of that or give more attention to it than it deserves. I just sense that tonight the Lord's going to deliver some young people from that horrible addiction. I believe that tonight God's going to heal in your heart the damaged relationship that you have with your parents. I believe that tonight there are those of you that are going through a storm that is not your fault. God's going to bring peace to your heart. Some of you come from homes where there is a storm in the house that is not your fault. Some of you come from places where you've experienced abuse. Or maybe your parents are not saved and there's some habits and some things that now as a Christian you're like, I don't know what to do about this. I love my parents, but I don't love what they do. I want them to know Jesus, but the things that they do are counter to what God's word says is true. That is a storm that the Lord is going to give you rest. And you're going to be able to pray and rest at the same time as you seek the Lord for peace in that storm. I'm going to pray for this group, and then I'm going to invite the other outposts, the other groups, the other churches to come and gather around. Because the beauty of this thing that you're part of, it's a brotherhood, yeah, but it's a family. You're in a family tonight. One of my mottos is that we are better together. Better together means that the Lord did not call you to serve Him alone. He called us to do this together in community. So let me pray for these. Would you stretch a hand out? You're going to join us here in just a moment. Would you stretch your hand out from out in the field? From out in your chair, stretch your hand out, and I want you to pray. If you know the names of young men that are down here, if you know the names of these rangers that are down here, call out to the Lord on their behalf. Maybe some of them surprised you. Maybe as you saw some guy, you're like, yo, he's going through a storm? That's the crazy thing about internal storms is that people around us don't always know. So Lord, right now we lift these up that say, Lord, they're going through a storm. God, tonight, We've had enough, Lord. We pray for peace in Jesus' name. We pray for victory over the storm. Lord, we pray for supernatural solutions, just like you brought a supernatural solution to the storm in Matthew chapter 14. You're bringing a supernatural solution to the storms in the lives of these rangers that are down here tonight. So in Jesus' name, we call on you. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. In fact, that's not even the right way to say it. Holy Spirit, you are already here. Holy Spirit, we submit to your authority in our lives. And we call out to you for peace in the storm. Now, would you step out and come lay hands on those brothers in the Lord that you love, that you care about? If you've got friends down here, if you've got fellow rangers down here, would you come down, lay a hand on a shoulder, and be led of the Holy Spirit on how to pray? You're like, what should I pray? The Holy Spirit's going to give you words. Step out from where you are. Let's come pray together. Let's come pray together. Worship team's going to lead us in just a moment, but right now we're just going to continue to seek the Lord, and we're going to invite those of you to step out from where you are and come pray. Thank you, leaders. Leaders, absolutely, but this is not limited to leaders. Some of you rangers, you're 12, you're 13, you're 14 years old. You might be 10 years old. I don't care. It doesn't matter. There's not an age at which God can use you. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you can be used of God right now. So step out from where you are and come pray over these that are going through storms. Let's pray over these that desperately need a miracle in their lives. Let's pray over these that are seeking peace. Let's pray over these that are seeking solutions. Because we believe that prayer works. We believe that the Holy Spirit has the solution to the storms in our lives, to the storms in our culture. Father, would you come now? Holy Spirit, would you come now? This is a big group. And sometimes in a group like this, or in your own church, whether it's 10 people or 100 people or 200 people, sometimes it's easy to hide. And I'm not talking about the hiding that you would do to be mischievous. I'm talking about the hiding that we do where we just go, we kind of minimize what God's doing in us. And I just don't want that to happen tonight. So I need to ask a very serious question. All over this field, I started to say room, but in case you noticed, the moon's out. It's right over there. I got to look at it all night while I was talking to you guys, but you were looking up here. So here under the moon and under the stars, I don't want anybody to just get lost in the shuffle. This is just the first night. So here's the question. Are you right with God? I don't want to single anybody out. I don't want to embarrass you, because you know what? My favorite way to ask that question is to look you in the eye one-on-one and just say, man, how's your faith? That's what I say to my neighbors that I don't know what their faith situation is. I know they go to church somewhere, and my neighborhood's kind of funny. The guys in my neighborhood all that are my age, that are dads, they all stand around and drink beer at night, and they invite me over, and they know I don't partake, but they're like, hide the beer, the pastor's here. I'm like, you guys are crazy. But I would ask them the exact same question. Man, how's your faith? Not did you sin this week or did you sin today? Because if you understand how this whole Jesus thing works, when you ask Jesus into your heart, he forgives all of your sin, past, present, and future. Yeah, that is worth celebrating. So commanders, leaders, volunteer adults, the question you get to ask tonight, whether it's around the campfire, or get ready to go to bed, or maybe it's tomorrow morning, it's just, how's your faith? Because you know how my faith was when I was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old? Every time the commander would ask who wants to ask Jesus into their heart, I would raise my hand every time.
because I'd been sinning that week. In fourth or fifth grade, I was using profanity at my Christian school and nobody knew it. Well, the people I was talking dirty around did. In middle school, we were looking at pornography, my buddies and I. So I'd get saved again every Wednesday night. In high school, I had a girlfriend I shouldn't have been dating. So I had to get saved every Wednesday night. And if I could talk to that teenage boy or that 9-year-old or that middle schooler again, you know what I'd say to him? Buddy, how's your faith? Like, Jesus loves you and he wants more for you than a secret pornography addiction. He wants more for you than a girlfriend that you shouldn't be with. Because you don't need to date till you're an adult. Just kidding. You can sort that one out with your commander. I don't know what to say about that. He wants more for you than for you to carry around shame. And then I realized that there's some of you that you've not asked Jesus into your heart. Maybe you haven't. So can I pray that miracle prayer over this group? And will you all pray it with me? And listen, if you're here tonight and you're just like, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not, Pastor Josh, this is the prayer we pray every time. And I'm not going to single you out. I am going to say, this is your prayer that you can pray. Just repeat it after me. Let's all just repeat it together. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I need you. I've sinned, and I know that you've forgiven me because I've put my faith in you. I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on a cross, and that you were resurrected on Easter Sunday so that I could be forgiven. Thank you for forgiving me. Please continue to help me grow. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for bringing me to this camp. And once again, washing away all my sin. And because of that, I'll see you soon. But not too soon. Amen. Amen.